Good morning.
I'd like to call the Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting to order. We take the roll, please.
Chair Peterson?
Here.
Director Yarsey?
Here.
Director Gonzalez, please stay here.
I'm substituting myself in if we need votes.
Yes, we will. That's good, okay. We have a quorum. Is there any public comment today? Remember the public comment? No public comments? Okay. Approval of the minutes of the Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting held on October 17th. Do we have any changes to those minutes? Anybody? So I looked at them, they were fine. Okay, do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, opposed, motion passes. Executive Director.
Sure, good morning. Next on the agenda, we have the update on the quarterly financial review. As you know, we do every quarter go over the quarterly financials with the board. Mike is going to give a detailed overview, but overall, we're pleased that total revenue continues to exceed projections for 2012, although we did see them moderate this past quarter. And even after we adjusted our capital spending downward from $609 million to $415 million, we still are seeing lower than expected capital expenditures, and it really has to do with the delays in getting projects going because of the procurement process, so we're hoping to get in front of that for next year. But to put it in perspective, we normally, at the end of the third quarter, you know, we expect about 30% of our revised projection remaining for the last 3 months, whereas now, today, we stand closer to 40%. So we are a little under in spending, you know, and hope that we can catch up on everything and things by the end of the year, if possible. So Mike will also give us an update on our plans to issue bonds in 2013. We'll just have you, Mike, if we're done with the quarterly, we can just go right into that presentation and talk a little bit about our schedule to issue bonds and the financing plan we have for 2013. We're confident that we have the internal resources, and by that I mean Mike Kelsch's team and his leadership to do the bond issuance, but we do want to talk a little bit about, again, some procurement and decisions that the board is going to need to make, subject to getting the team in place and having the right kind of structure around the team so that we can get those bonds issued in a timely way. So, Mike?
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I think you'll see that the third quarter results are consistent with our discussion actually of last month and our preliminary estimates of what we believe would occur during the remainder of 2012. As you can see from this slide, this was our original budget projections that were approved last December, $973 million in revenue, allocated $268 million to maintenance and operations, the operating reserve, debt service, and renewal replacement. As Christy mentioned, through the first three quarters, through September, total revenue still exceeds our estimate that was made at the beginning of the year by $2.8 million, or about 0.4%. An item of note, passenger car IPAS participation rate has averaged higher than it was forecast at the beginning of the year, which has actually depressed toll revenue a little bit from what it would have been had the IPAS rate remained lower. So toll revenue is on track with that projection for the year. Evasion recovery, however, was less than budget. About $8.7 million of that was due to the accounting change that we've discussed on a number of occasions, going from an accrual basis of evasion recovery to a cash basis, and that was a one-time adjustment we would see in 2012 only. However, there is an additional shortfall, so to speak, in the first three quarters for evasion recovery that we'll talk a little bit more about, but October has been a strong month. We really think that's just a timing issue and that we'll make the number for the year. Maintenance and operations down 14.3 $3 million from budget. Some of that is timing, some of that is real savings, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as well. And Christy mentioned the capital program, $193.7 million below budget. Again, much of that related to procurement challenges, as well as some intergovernmental agreements that we received reimbursement for, some scope changes, and some cost savings. We'll talk. So numerically, what does that mean for revenue? You can see evasion recovery through the first 3 months down 9.4. We discussed that on the previous page. That's a combination of total revenue being up and evasion recovery down through the first three quarters. We did make that adjustment, by the way, in our 2013 tentative budget. We did make that adjustment for evasion recovery. So that's already reflected in our plan going forward. Other revenue sources, very close to budget. Miscellaneous revenue is usually a little bit larger in the fourth quarter, so we would hope to make up some of that variance as well. With respect to the operating costs are significantly below budget during the first three quarters, almost 7% below budget. The largest pieces of that, as you can see, are payroll and related costs. We simply have more vacant positions that we had anticipated at this time of year. That's also impacted group insurance. We have fewer employees, the healthcare costs have been less. Contractual services are under budget because of less spending, some savings in the area of business systems. Image review costs have been lower, credit card fees have been lower than we projected, and the customer call center costs have actually been less than projected. Now that we've seen some additional notices going out late in the fall, some of those customer service costs may increase because we'll receive more calls as more notices are issued. Materials, operating supplies, and other expenses was also down significantly from budget. A piece of this, a part of this, really relates to salt being procured and purchased in the fourth quarter as opposed to the third quarter, in which we had planned. But some of it is also that we're needing less supplies because the winter was mild last spring. We had more stock, more inventory, and some of these winter materials at the start of the year than we had anticipated when we put the budget together. And finally, insurance costs are down through the first three quarters because of an adjustment to workers' compensation. And if you remember, we reviewed an actuarial review that indicated that we had set aside more in reserve than we needed for workers' comp for some prior claim years, so we were able to reduce the amount going into the workers' comp claim reserve fund. With respect to the capital program, the biggest variances were in the tri-state tollway and system-wide. Again, a total variance relative to the original budget of $193 million. $173 million of that directly related to spending on the program, and $20 million of the variance was due to the fact we were able to recover or receive reimbursements from other governments that we were participating on projects with. As I mentioned, I think last month, we do take a conservative posture on how we count those intergovernmental agreements. We don't build them into the budget to the extent that the revenue materializes or the reimbursement materializes. That's a favorable variance to us. Again, a lot of this is related to the procurement challenges and schedule delays related to those challenges. There have been some scope changes that were put in place because as we move forward with the Move Illinois program, we realized some reconstruction work later on in the program would negate the need to do some reconstruction work now, particularly I think on the tri-state we decided to downscope some of that work and do some rehabilitation as opposed to reconstruction, because we know there's a rebuild later in the Move Illinois program. So that explains part of that variance as well. This variance is fairly consistent with the projection for the end of the year now that we made in October. I think we're now projecting $418 million in total spending. We had started the year projecting $592. So this difference kind of reflects why we made that change. With respect to the third quarter alone, and again, it's much the same issues as we've discussed already, I think I would note that the toll revenue was down in the third quarter alone, really impacted by commercial vehicle traffic being less than we had forecast in the third quarter. And it actually grew from last year, but not as much as we had anticipated. So toll revenue was down about $3.2 million in the third quarter, again, because commercial vehicle traffic growing less than we had anticipated. And we think that's a combination of the economy growing a little slower than anticipated in the third quarter, but also impact of a lot of work on the tri-state that we think moved some truck traffic off of our system in the third quarter.
I think they also might be maybe revenue down also because more people are using the iPass versus paying cash, which would be more.
You
alluded to that earlier.
Right. The passenger vehicle traffic continues to be higher than what we anticipated at the start of the year, but the fact that we have more iPass users as opposed to cash users is reducing the revenue from what we would otherwise have received.
It's my fault. I tell everybody, you don't have an iPass.
It's the most effective marketing.
I know. But I should keep my mouth shut.
Maintenance and operations expenses for the third quarter. Again, you can see just as the year-to-date numbers, payroll and related costs, group health insurance, contractual services, those are the areas where we're down the largest amounts. Materials and operating supplies, again, down, but we think some of that, a large portion of that is timing. And then we made the insurance adjustment for workers' comp. I think that all those factors are reflected in these numbers. Down about $7.8 million for the quarter.
How many less people? I know you talk about group insurance and the savings there because they're not in the plan, we're not paying into the plan. Just wondering how many people we were down. But also, do we get a reimbursement on the premium also because then we're down?
For our health insurance?
For
the HMO and the for the HMO costs, of course, we pay for whatever plan each of the employees is in. So we would only be paying the premium representing how many employees we have and what plans they're in. For the PPO, you know, obviously it's a self-funded PPO plan. Blue Cross administers the program. With respect to the numbers, I don't have the employee numbers available right now, but we can get those. It's a significant number. $4.7 million represents. And third quarter capital program expenses, again, the same story as the same issues that we discussed for year to date. In the third quarter alone, capital program spending was down about $121 million from the projections done at the start of the year. And then we actually recovered $17.4 million in reimbursements from the Illinois Department of Transportation and local governments. And finally, we...
Mike, I'm sorry, can you go back and explain footnote one on the table? I missed this when we were reviewing the material in advance. That $75 million is what?
$75 million is work, the value of work that's been completed during that quarter, but not yet paid by the tollway, either because the invoices are in process or because we haven't yet been invoiced for the work.
But that money we know is going to go out the door.
Right. It's reflected as an expenditure in this quarter, even though it actually hasn't been paid.
Okay, thanks.
And fund balances, slower spending on the capital program, and lower costs in operating have increased those fund balances. Maintenance and operations account has increased $18 million. We have increased the reserve by $8 million. That was planned as part of this budget. And renewal and replacement and improvement have also increased fund balances as a result of slower than anticipated spending on the capital program. And we have a number of items in the appendix.
Any additional
questions?
I may have missed it, I'm sorry. I thought toward the beginning you said you were going to talk a little bit more about the evasion recovery.
Yeah, I just on evasion recovery, we were down.
I understand the adjustment that you made, but what about the amount beyond
right.
the adjustment?
Right. We were down about $4 million in evasion recovery on top of the adjustment. A little over $3 million. Yeah, 3.4. On top of the adjustment that was made, but the late fall, winter months, in recent years we've seen more cash collections. And remember now we're on a cash basis as opposed to an accrual basis. And we're seeing that trend also this year. Late September, October numbers have been higher in terms of cash collections. So we really think that's a timing issue with some of those violation notices working their way through the system.
Thank you.
Did we want to talk about the schedule? So, part of the 2013 budget plan was that we would issue as much as $1 billion in new bonds to finance the Move Illinois program in 2013 in part, and also to advance fund some costs from 2014. What we've laid out here is an estimated timeline for the first bond issue that we would expect to be in the neighborhood of $500 million. As Christy mentioned, part of the challenge we're facing right now is getting all of the external parties that assist us with this work on board. We do have a general financial advisor that we have on board, the transactional financial advisors that are assigned to each individual transaction. Those contracts are moving along. We believe we will be able to have them on board soon. But we are facing challenges in the procurement process and getting counsel and underwriter assignments. And we, of course, need to work with CMS, our CPO's office, and the Procurement Policy Board to get those contracts approved. They are moving forward. It has been a slow process. I don't know, John, if there's anything additional you want to add at this point.
No, nothing really. I think we're just waiting on a lot of potential conflicts of interest that are routing through the process. We've been in CPO's office for some time now, since the beginning of October, but hopefully they'll shake those loose pretty soon and we can move forward.
Can you talk a little bit about the implications of timing? If we get it by X date, we can do December board meeting. If we don't get it by X date, we'll flip over to January, or can we not anticipate it?
I think on the council, we're pretty much complete. I think of the 10 firms, I think 8 of them have cleared. I think there's 2 others that are being held in Springfield right now. So, you know, now that we've gotten the green light on the 8, we're planning to publish an award notice for those 8 on the procurement bulletin and then a subsequent notice for the other 2. Because if we included the whole pool in one notice, the procurement policy board won't let us go forward with the whole pool until all disclosures are complete. It's the technical thing, so.
And do we need
but the under, but we, in theory, we don't. I mean, yeah. It would be good to have all 10, but if you have 8 to choose from, because we cycle through, you know, in theory, the others would, you know, have an opportunity at a later point, right? So
yeah.
The underwriters, though, we're not maybe quite in the same position on.
No, they're a little bit earlier on. Everybody's understanding. We've been on several phone calls saying that these are critical to our bond issuance. I know David's been involved with the CPO's office as well. So they understand that this is a high priority. I was on a call last week with the procurement policy board, letting them know what our plans are to issue bonds in January, and there's a lot of legwork that needs to happen prior to the issuance. So it's not like we just signed a contract, now we can issue bonds. Don't know if they understand that or not, but we explained it to them that we'd like to have them on board as soon as possible.
Yeah, the timing is crucial for construction season and the major capital plan we have coming up, and I think to your point about if you have 8 in the pool, let's go forward with the 8.
Right.
The next 2.
What, by when do we need the underwriters, though?
We're going to need them at the same time. I mean, you have to have those teams in place, what we would hope 6 weeks before, at least 6 weeks before we go forward with, you know, whatever the date of the issue is.
Right. The schedule that we're working toward here is a late January issuance, which really requires an approval by the board of the team in December. And so council's the most critical in terms of getting on the soonest. But both council and underwriters are really needed at the time we ask for this approval, so that the board can, you know, authorize us to move forward with working with that group.
So if we weren't to get them by the December board meeting, it might be necessary to have a special board meeting early in January to get this done by January. I'm just trying to figure out what the answer is.
I would think, yeah, that would be something that we would want to consider. If we do have council by December, I think we'd want to move forward with council, even if we don't have underwriters, so that we can actually start working with council before, you know, that special.
Is that a worst case scenario, going into January with a special meeting, or should it go beyond that?
To the extent it goes beyond that, we have to push the sale date back. And
how's that going to affect the construction award and schedule?
At this point, given the favorable variances that we've received, it may not have any impact if we were to wait a few more weeks. I don't like running the risk of running short of cash and not being able to pay contractors, so that we have built a little bit of time into the schedule.
So a little bit of cushion in the schedule for that.
And then the other question is, if delays are likely to affect the bond market, but I mean, I guess with this fiscal cliff, we really don't have any idea of what the markets will look like in January. Somebody could say this is a bad time to do it also, right?
Yeah, that's another good point. I mean, the municipal bond rates are at what many characterize as historical lows.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back to the 1950s, I think you can find examples of where rates were as low or lower, but clearly among the lowest bond rates that we've seen. So we would like to capture that market.
Mm-hmm.
There hasn't been a lot of discussion about a big risk of significant increases in rates in the near term, but we also there can always be shocks or economic events or world events that impact these markets that we can't control.
So it's really to our advantage to move as quickly as we possibly
yes.
can.
So we appreciate that direction, and we'll make sure to share that with you know, the CPO and CMS and the procurement apparatus that, you know, the board is growing a little bit anxious.
Yes.
Very interested in seeing this move forward.
Absolutely, and we would not want to have extra costs to our toll payers because of delays that could have been avoided.
Well stated. We'll quote that. We'll pull that directly from the
Other aspects of the preparation are on schedule and are proceeding forward. We're working with the traffic engineer and the consulting engineer and getting the necessary reports that are required of the mismarketing of the bonds, the rating agencies. We've had some initial contacts with them. Obviously, we will want a greater number of our team to be on board before we proceed with formal meetings. As you can see from the bottom of this schedule, our preferred pricing date would be on or about January 24th or the end of, near the end of January, with closing in early February. Again, I think we mentioned or we would like our authorization request in December. We're up to $1 billion in new money for the Move Illinois program during 2013. We also have an existing authorization to refund about $570 million of the synthetic fixed rate debt that was goes back a couple of years but was extended last year through the end of December. We'd like to seek authorization to extend that again for another year in case market conditions warrant restructuring or refunding some additional synthetic fixed rate debt. And we've mentioned approved councils and underwriters if we're at that stage. Also, in December, we probably will want to have a discussion about hedging issues or hedging opportunities or attempting to lock in the interest rate market for a larger portion of our debt beyond the $1 billion that we would expect to issue in 2013. With respect to the structure, you know, obviously a lot of that work will be done as we work closely with our financial advisor and hopefully with counsel and underwriters. Current expectation, we put a broad range in there, $400 to $700 million, but I think we're really thinking around $500 million January and February, with the remainder to occur late in the year. This is a chart of long-term fixed rate municipal bond rates going back to December of 2000. We're now at down around 3 point, I think this is the 20-year rate, down around 3.5%, which is, as you can see, the lowest on this period.
It's really a tremendous opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
And can you talk a little bit about why, given where we are in the sense of a certain level of confidence about this rate right now, we wouldn't do the whole $1 billion at one time?
Yes. While the interest cost that we could borrow at would be, if we could do it this week, 3.5%, and it, over the last 6 months, has been in the 3.5% to 4% range, the amount of the rates that we earn on reinvesting that those bond proceeds, if we don't have projects to spend them on immediately, are less than 25 basis points. So although it's attractive to borrow at 3.5% to 4%, borrowing at 4% and then reinvesting at less than 25, you know, 0.25% is really costly. So what we're trying to balance is that what they call negative arbitrage associated with investing at a rate lower than you're borrowing with the risk of rates going up. And part of our challenge in the next couple of months too is to see if there are other ways, less costly, to try to hedge our exposure to rates increasing in the near future. There are other products that we could look at that might allow us to hedge those interest costs without incurring as much cost, without incurring this negative arbitrage.
That's for existing debt?
For the new debt.
Oh.
Yeah. Interest rate exchange agreement swaps that we've used in the past that have forward starting dates, for example, is one product that can be used. It's just one of several products that could be used that was used during the congestion relief program to hedge a portion of our costs. If rates are low enough, we may decide, we are willing to absorb a little bit of negative arbitrage over the next 6 months, or some negative arbitrage over the next 6 months in order to lock in those rates. But it's an analysis that, at least initially, doing all billion upfront looks very expensive relative to what the expectations are for rates increasing. $500 million won't be needed right away either. $500 million probably will be spent over the first 8 months of the year or so.
And when you calculate the cost in of doing the sale, that's still the case, to do two sales in 1 year?
There isn't a lot of difference between doing $1 billion as one sale or $1 billion as two sales, because many of the fees are based upon the amount of bonds that are issued as opposed to a separate flat fee.
And you just keep this team in place so we don't have to go through the procurement?
I think we'd want to use two different teams, a different team.
But it would be from the pool.
Oh, yes.
It would be from the pool, right. Absolutely. Right. That's the idea of having those pools, so you can just rotate through and pull the team for each one, and you don't have to go through an independent procurement process every time.
That's right. Yes,
thank God. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Procurement. John.
Morning, Directors.
Morning.
Procurement has five items for your consideration this morning. First item is a TOLE invitation for bid to purchase fire alarm inspections and repairs. This contract provides a source for inspections and repairs of fire alarms and sprinkler systems at all of the Illinois Tollway locations system-wide. The board should note that I presented this item back in May. However, once we sent the contract to the awarded vendor, they realized they had made a mistake in their pricing. This is a two-year contract, and one of the items they did have only a one-year price listed. Once they corrected their mistake to reflect the two-year term, they were no longer the low bidder for this contract. Hence our request today to award this contract to the new low bidder, Mechanical Systems Incorporated, doing business as Contact MSI Company, in a total amount not to exceed $114,748.
So who was the previous award?
Fox Valley
Fire and Safety.
Yes, Fox Valley Fire and Safety. So they actually, once they corrected their mistake, they were then number three on the list.
They originally budgeted for $150,000. We thought the cost would be, and this came in at $114,000. Is that right?
No.
Or is that for?
Yeah, Mike, is that include other items, or is that specific in the financial in the summary? Yeah, the
$150,000.
Or is that just for that line item number?
Item one.
I don't know if that account includes just this procurement.
No, this is a. Yeah, that item, that contracted maintenance service, isn't limited to this.
Do the $114,000, does that include, you said, inspections of all of our properties, but does that include the repairs also? I mean, you're talking about labor and materials?
Yes, it does. It also includes an hourly rate for labor and then also materials as well.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's a situation where they spend up to a certain amount, or is this a flat fee and it's an estimate on what's going to happen in terms of the...
Yeah, this is a not to exceed $114,000. So they do quarterly inspections on our fire sprinkler systems. They also do annual inspections on our fire suppression. And then there's an hourly rate to repair any breaks that occur throughout the term of the contract.
Thanks.
the second item?
Yes.
Okay. The second item is also a total invitation for bid to purchase hazardous waste and or characterization, transportation, disposal services. This contract is our vehicle to remove hazardous and or special waste from our M sites, garages, and anywhere throughout our system in an environmentally safe manner. Some of the materials to be transported away and disposed of are paints, solvents, mineral spirits, sand, and used batteries, to name a few. Award is recommended to Trade B Treatment and Recycling, LLC, in a total amount not to exceed $50,000.
Have we used them before?
Actually, we have. Their name in the past was known as Pollution Control Industries, and they had recently changed their name to Trade B Treatment and Recycling. And it's probably why their pricing is so much lower than the rest, because they are the incumbent vendor, and they know our environment already. Third item is a request to increase a TOLI RFP to continue our pre-employment screening services. This contract enables a TOLI to perform pre-employment screening services on potential candidates prior to their employment with the TOLI. These services include drug and alcohol testing, physical exams, x-rays, and agility weightlifting assessments. This contract increase will allow these services to continue while a new competitive IFB is conducted. Award is recommended to Alerted Solutions Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $60,000.
This is for basically our employees. Do we do anything, or do we require our consultants or the contractors to go through the screening also? I guess I'll start with our consultants. Do we require them to do any screening?
No, we don't screen them in this manner. We do scan fingerprints for anyone who has a permanent ID here, which includes some of our consultants.
But because I know we have quite a few consultants on staff here and in the building, but so they're not getting screened for drug and alcohol testing or exams or x-rays or agility or weightlifting?
No, but they will be screened for background checks, criminal backgrounds.
And do any of our contracts require the people for whom they work to do those kinds of screenings?
I don't believe any of our contracts do, but they would all be subject to whatever their own employment policies are. So,
right.
You know, if the firms that they work for have, you know, drug and alcohol screening as part of their employment policy, and many would, then they would be subject to whatever their employer's policies are.
But Mike is right, though. They do fingerprint all the employees once they get an ID badge in their building, and I believe that includes the background check as well. It's part of it, right?
It would include criminal background check.
And Director, it's also important to know that, you know, the majority of the employees who are hired in our building and work in this facility are just tested for drug and alcohol, whereas if they're toll collectors or equipment operators, they have the physical exams and agility tests. Okay?
100% DEP committed, is that right?
Yes.
Agent.
Yes, it is. Take one. The fourth item is award of a TOLI request for proposal to purchase financial statement preparation software. This software will provide a standard general ledger accounting system for use in compiling the output from the TOLI's many subsidiary ledgers and databases. Software will also accommodate the TOLI's need to produce its audited financial statements in accordance with the generally accepted accounting principles as promulgated by the Governmental Accounting Standards Board. Award is recommended to Crowe Horwath LLP in a total amount not to exceed $266,447.04.
Is that a one-time cost?
Yes. Yes, I believe this is the
for the installation.
This is charged for the whole system and installation of it as well.
But we have the opportunity for renewal options.
I think we yes, 3 1-year renewal options or any combination of those 3 years.
So is, we that could do is that for upgrades or for any patches or additions to the system? Because we do have the 3 1-year renewal option.
I believe it takes us to the latest version of the software that they install. I could double check that though.
So if we opt in for the renewals, it's possible there would be additional costs.
It's possible, yes.
Okay.
But the amount that we're asking for today is just for the initial term.
Okay.
This is a capital expense.
Okay. Fifth and final item is a TOLI emergency to purchase asphalt crack sealing material. Cracked seal material is used to preserve the life of roadway pavement. Failure to apply it would lead to asphalt deterioration, decay, and eventually replacement of the pavement much sooner than anticipated. The reason for this emergency is because all the bidders were deemed non-responsive to the CMS-led procurement that recently took place. And it's now critical that this emergency be conducted so we don't miss our fall cracked seal application. CMS is in the process of reissuing a competitive procurement for our longer-term needs. Award is recommended to Craftco Incorporated in a total amount not to exceed $65,000. It's also important to note that Craftco was the low bidder on the CMS-led procurement, and they agreed to supply the material at their low bid price.
Any idea why everybody was so non-responsive? We had to go all the way to Chandler, Arizona to get a vendor?
Yeah, no, we wanted to hopefully do business with an Illinois firm. There was an Illinois firm as part of the three bidders who did submit it, but they were like 20% higher than Craftco. Two of the bidders, when CMS conducted the first bid, they considered a small business set-aside, which means it's only reserved for vendors that are set-aside in the small business program. And two of the vendors failed that requirement. The third vendor didn't disclose, I think they failed the Board of Election certificate on that one. I'm pretty sure that's what the issue was. So they had all vendors were non-responsive, so they threw out the whole procurement. We do it, and we don't have time to wait. If we wait, Paul is going to miss his fall crack seal program, and then
there's snow in the area.
Right. Yeah, so that'll be paying more money for repairs.
Okay.
Is that bought by the gallon, or how's that? What kind of unit price?
By the pound.
By the pound?
Yeah. Basically, they ship them in these blocks, and then we have these crack sealing machines where it's melted, and Paul could probably give you a little more detail.
That was good.
I'm impressed.
So that's how that works, and they apply it, you know, when they need it, they just heat it up. So.
Okay. Thanks, Sean. Sure. Any questions regarding procurement items 1 through 5? Anybody need to recuse themselves? Okay. Any problems with taking these all in one motion, or should we take them individually? Take them all in one motion. Then. Do I have a motion to approve?
So
procurement items 1 through 5. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full consent agenda. Thank you. Thanks, Jeff. Thank you. Engineering.
Good morning, directors.
Good morning.
Engineering's got 4 items today. The first 3 are professional service awards that we're recommending, and the last one is a change order, extra work order. Item 1 is a professional service contract. It's for construction management services associated with our reconstruction and widening efforts on the Jane Avenue Memorial Tollway between Cherry Valley Interchange and Genoa Road. This section is a 7.4-mile section. Has 2 mainline bridges and 10 crossroad bridges. Award is recommended to Bollinger Lock and Associates in the amount of $10,747,900. BLA has a mentor protege agreement with Millennia Professional Services on this contract. BLA wasn't selected since 2007. They're utilizing 2 DB subs, which are new for the tollway. That's Dar Engineering and Rubino Engineering. Also, I wanted to point out that Millennia, although they have worked for the tollway before as a sub, it's been on the design side, so this is going to be their first opportunity working on the construction management side.
Very good.
Item 2.
Yeah, obviously, the budget. Your budget, basically, you made an adjustment over some $1 million.
Yeah, we're going to keep. They came in right at the budget amount. We're going to hold that right now.
Okay.
Item 2, this is a professional service contract. Actually, the next 2 items are both for design services associated with the Elgin O'Hare Western Access Corridor program. Item 2 involves design services from Lively Boulevard to Supreme Drive. That's a 1.5-mile section. Contract plans and specs are going to be prepared for this mainline section, which also includes interchange work at Illinois Route 83 and 8 new mainline bridges. Award is recommended to the joint venture of Patrick Engineering, Civil Tech Engineering, and Singen Associates in the amount of $9,251,314.92. Singen, who is included in this joint venture, they are a DBE firm, so they're also going to receive some mentoring, informal mentoring, as acting as a prime on this.
So saw a couple subs, and they're being used by these primes. Just want to make sure hopefully the capacity of these subs is still adequate to perform.
Yeah, we do not believe there will be any issues on the subcontract capacity. I will note on both items 2 and 3, they are above our anticipated budget amount. However, so far we brought 4 design contracts for the Elgin O'Hare, and when 2 came, I presented to the board last month. Overall, as a whole, they're within 0.13% of our actual established budget. So we have made some interim adjustments. We are still developing our contract packaging scheme for the Elgin O'Hare. We also want to make sure that there's monies included in these contracts so that we can do a very diligent and thorough effort on looking for opportunities to unbundle and create even smaller construction packages. And this is our final negotiated amounts, and we feel these are the appropriate amounts for these two. So item 3 is similar to item 2. As I mentioned, it's for the Elgin O'Hare Western Access Program. But this is for the section.
I think that, I'm sorry, there was a question.
Do you attribute some of the increased cost to the unbundling? I was just trying to figure
some
out.
Of it is okay. Attributed to the unbundling, because it's actually going to be preparing, you know, another set of small contract documents, so that's going to take a little more effort than.
Instead of one set, for instance, you have 2 or 3.
2 or 3,
correct. Okay, thank
you. So item 3 is a professional service contract. This is for the section on the Elgin O'Hare between Arlington Heights Road and Lively Boulevard. It's a 1.75-mile section. They are going to prepare contract plans and specs for us. They also have some interchange work to do at Prospect Avenue and Wooddale Road, 6 new mainline bridges and 1 crossroad bridges. Award is recommended to URS in the amount of $11,129,316.20. They are far exceeding the DB goal with their commitment on this contract.
Congratulations. Both of these DBs.
Item 4 is a change order and extra work order. And this is associated with our interchange work at 90 and Illinois Route 47. The amount of the change is $211. $211,328, and this work is necessary. We have to relocate a sanitary sewer that's in conflict with ramp reconstruction. The work was not included in the original contract. It is necessary, and it's due to an unforeseen condition. The design work for this contract was administered by the Village of Huntley, and they utilized as-built plans for the sanitary sewer, which were relatively new. It's only 3 or 4 years old. They also did some checking. They lifted some of the manhole lids in the area to try to verify if the as-built was matching up with the actual conditions of the sewer pipe, and they did match. However, it is a force main, and there was a variance in the vertical direction, and it does have a conflict with the ramp. So they did a diligent effort in trying to get the best information available to them during the design effort. There's about 10 to 15,000 feet of sewer that's running through this interchange area that, you know, they could have had a conflict with.
Are you going to share the cost of the change order?
Yeah, we do have an agreement with both the Village of Huntley and Kane and McHenry Counties, and since this is a utility change, we do share all the costs associated with the utility work on this contract with those other people. The work is going to be performed by one of the DB subcontractors, so that's going to probably have a positive influence on the final DBE involvement in this contract. It is noted that the DBE percentage to date is not that high, but there is a lot of work associated with the plaza buildings that we're putting in, and also landscaping. It's not going to occur until the next year of the contract, so they're on target.
Thanks. Thanks, Paul.
Is it unusual for this kind of increase to come in as early in the project?
No.
Because they really think about it in stages, and they bid it in stages, so they know?
No, they bid it in total. The work is being done in stages. They got to the point where they're working on this ramp where there is a potential conflict with the sanitary sewer, so they immediately submit the request for us to consider this extra work.
Well, But they don't know what the, that the overall cost.
It's possible that there would be more cost later, there might be something else that comes up, or there might be a balancing at the end that, you know, lowers the other costs associated with the contract, but we know right now, and rather than approve the work and come to you after the fact and not give you an opportunity to weigh in on it, this is, you know, we bring it as we have them if they're over the thresholds.
Right, this stage of the process.
Right, for this portion of work. So if something else comes up at some future point or some of the work next year, we have to run into something else that requires, you know, a similar adjustment. We certainly hope that won't happen, but we would come back and ask for another concession.
And it never works that they come back and say, oh, this was less expensive than before.
Yes, it does.
It does? Oh, okay.
It does sometimes. And then we process change orders to lower the dollar amounts. And that does happen in almost every single job, but it usually doesn't happen until the end. They don't do the negative adjustments till later on. We have been trying to implement some of those negative adjustments on the jobs that are extending out over, you know, multiple years at periodic points mm-hmm. during the construction, so that, you know, we are not holding as much money in reserve, you know, to pay for it, so we could.
And that was kind of what I was thinking. You do the contract for a long period of time, but they really are analyzing the costs in stages.
Yes, they do periodic adjustments to, you know, when they see that they're underspending in certain categories, they will do periodic adjustments, and it is by category. That whole C5 process established, also there's like six major categories where they look at adjustments in. Could be you know, roadway related work or structural related work or drainage related work.
And is this something that the construction managers monitor?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions? Any objections to taking engineering items 1, 2, and 3 together? And 4? Any recusals? None?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full consent board agenda. Thank you. Thanks, Paul. Legal. David.
Thank you, Director. We have 6 items. We'll present the 6th being something that's appropriate for executive session discussion. First one, and I may have Mr. Kovacs give some general comments about activity in I-90 near Irene Road. First is an IGA with Boone County, the City of Belvedere, and the Flora Township. This is one in a series of agreements, letters of understanding, memorandum of understanding, and formal agreements dating back to 2006. For essentially a full interchange project around Irene Road off of 90. This one will be dealing with potential work for an eastbound entrance ramp, as well as a potential for a full restoration of the bridge at Irene Road. I see we have listed on our agenda a TBD amount, and that is because there is a lot of preparation work here, but what actually occurs in the field would be determining how much is actually spent. Paul, I probably botched some of that.
That's correct. We've been working with a long time with the Boone County and City of Belvedere, and actually Rocco has been leading the charge on a lot of this. We do have a partial interchange right at that location right now, just the westbound exit, which we implemented, which was useful to us when we were working on the Cherry Valley interchange. We actually used it for a detour route. They have been pursuing the design work for this interchange, and they've also we hope they're going to be pursuing the land acquisition. We will have in the City of Belvedere, we will have a use for that property during our construction on 90, so we're going to get that benefit. We're also taking out the bridge and replacing it so we can build, you know, what's necessary to accommodate the full interchange. And then there is another associated structure at Johnson Road, which is in the vicinity. This Johnson Road Bridge only carries about 100 vehicles per day. We've been working with the local jurisdiction there on potentially taking that bridge out, and they've agreed to do that. That bridge does have a restrictive opening, and it will cause us some issues during construction, and we maintain it today. So these are all benefits to the tollway. which we are lumping into this overall agreement. So this is something that has been being developed over a very long period of time, and we're happy that we're going to be able to finally move forward with it.
I thought it was because when I went out to the budget hearing there, I tried to get back on going east and couldn't any work on it in 09 or something. How foolish of me. It had to do with construction.
That wasn't the reason.
Our second item today is an IGA with Winnebago County Forest Preserve and the Boone County Conservation District. When the team will begin work at the Kishwaukee River and I-90, there will need to be a closure of a multi-use path that is owned by and operated by both of these entities, and the tollway is agreeing to restore that path to its current condition or better for a relatively nominal cost at the end of the work.
Yes.
The third matter today is an IGA with the Genoa National Fish Hatchery. As the team is working near the Kishwaukee River, we are going to move some black sand shell mussels to this fish hatchery for storage and then replacement when Paul says it will come back.
Is it really national?
National fish
it's a national
hatchery.
Hatchery that happens to be in
Geno? Yeah. It's in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
No field trips, though.
I'm always chasing the mussels.
The next item, which I may partner with John Donato on here, involves an IGA with CMS to essentially piggyback on an agreement they have in place for a large enterprise class storage area network. This is technology stuff. And we will be gaining some favorable pricing related to our ability to acquire this up to $1.3 million on a CMS contract.
Yeah, so what happens is there wasn't a master contract available for this equipment, and if we were to procure this on our own, we'd just probably spend $2 to $2.5 million. CMS has a contract with Dell, who provides this EMC storage area network equipment. So essentially, this is to back up, and part of our disaster recovery effort, this is to back up our email application, all of our file servers. All the information is stored here at CA, and then in real time it gets replicated at our DR site in DeKalb. So this is mainly part of our disaster recovery effort. And you know, we believe it's in our best interest to take use of this contract to realize those savings.
Thanks, John. Our fifth item is an amendment to an existing agreement with a company formerly known as Mobility Technologies. They are now known in the marketplace as Traffic.com. This entity has installed sensors around the tollway system to allow traffic analysis. This, out of this agreement, there's funneled data to various reporting networks and news stations around the city. And we also benefit from that from a system flow analysis, and we'll continue the agreement in place with them through 2014 on this amendment.
When you say around the tollway, do you mean on the tollway or literally around it off the road?
It's on the tollway. This vendor won a federal grant to expand these ITS surveillance systems onto interstates. We took advantage of it. We partnered with them. It hasn't cost the tollway any money to do this. It does give us the ability to get travel time data, which we utilize and can post on our dynamic message signs. It also gives us the ability to automatically alert us to any situations that occur on the roadway where the travel times start to go dramatically increase, so that we know there's something going on there and we can get our attention directed to incidents in the area. So it's been very useful to us.
So basically, they installed the trapping of vehicles and speed sensors throughout our system for free.
It actually is a pole that's mounted on the side of the road. It has a little solar panel on it, which you may notice if you're driving the system, and it has a sensor included also.
And then basically, they use the data they provide it to us, so we get to use it internally.
Yes.
But then they also sell that data
yes.
to outlets, media outlets.
Yes.
going forward, who maintains the upkeep and maintenance of those sensors throughout the system?
That is what we're going to be working on during the extension of this contract. And that's all that we're asking for here, is just to extend it to 2014. That's when the agreement would expire. So we will be working on, you know, that aspect of it. We anticipate, you know, we will be maintaining it. We are maintaining the elements right now from time to time, maybe on a two-year basis. They need new batteries. We put the new batteries in.
Any other questions on that item? Item number six you mentioned, Dave, we're just going to go to executive, is that correct?
We will, sure. Yeah.
In the full board, though, is it our idea to do full board exec, or do they have to?
We can do a preliminary today or defer.
You can defer to full board, but no, otherwise, what's your full away?
No, I think it's fine. We'll do it tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Under legal items, we'll take items 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Do we hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Moves to the full board. Consent agenda. Thank you. Any unfinished business? Anyone? Any new business? Executive session, we're not going to go into, not necessary today.
I should have brought one more thing up. When you asked about the first contract, whether it was, you know, meeting the budget or not, it is. I am recommending the amount, and it does match the budget exactly. There is one element of the work that they're going to be overseeing, which is the crossroad bridges. We have not made a final decision on if all the crossroad bridges are going to be fully replaced. So right now those contracts are scoped for some replacements but some rehabilitations. As the I-90 construction jobs come in, if we see that we're going to be on target, we may be upscoping those to full reconstructions, and that could change the value of that CM contract. But if that happens, I will come back and request a supplement from the board, or we can have the option of potentially tasking a different provider with that work. So we made the conscious decision right now to leave the scope as it was and to, you know, keep the negotiated amount exactly as our pre-established budget. Sorry, explain that better.
No, thanks for the clarification. Thank you. Okay. There's nothing else. We need to put our motion to adjourn. Seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Passes. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.